On Wednesday's front page, President Obama endorsed a bipartisan push on deficit reduction. This came as the so-called Gang of Six in the Senate called for new spending cuts. In London, Rupert and James Murdoch told Parliament, "We're sorry, but we didn't know about the phone hacking." And recommendations from the National Academy of Sciences on the levels of preventive care for insurance plans created under the healthcare overhaul. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says President Obama renewed his push for an ambitious deficit reduction deal. He endorsed a bipartisan package put forward by the so-called Gang of Six in the Senate. It's modeled on recommendations from the president's own fiscal commission and calls for new revenues as well as spending cuts. The president urged congressional leaders, in his words, to start talking turkey on Wednesday. He said there's no time left for what he called symbolic gestures. That was apparently a reference to the House vote on a Republican plan that would cap federal spending and call for a balanced budget amendment. In London, Rupert Murdoch and senior figures from his family's media empire apologized for the phone hacking scandal, but they insisted they had not ordered or tried to cover up illegal forms of news gathering. Our report from Times correspondent Graham Boley begins with this statement from Murdoch.
I would just like to say one sentence. This is the most humble day of my life.
It was very clear from the way they answered questions that their strategy is to say they didn't know about it.
Mr. Murdoch, do you accept that ultimately you are responsible for this whole fiasco?
No.
You are not responsible. Who is responsible?
The people that I trusted to run it, and then maybe the people they trusted.
The MPs tried to turn the clock back to 2007 and 2008 and 2009, when secretly News International made payments to victims of phone hacking to stop them taking forward civil actions, which would have led to even more evidence being discovered about the true extent of the phone hacking. So after more than 2 hours of the hearing, suddenly a man jumped out of the public gallery where the public was sitting and seemed to thrust a plate with shaving foam at Mr. Murdoch. He was intercepted by Mr. Murdoch's wife and other people sitting directly behind Rupert Murdoch, and he was arrested and taken out of the hearing, which was suspended for about 15 minutes, but then resumed with an empty public gallery, and Mr. Murdoch had taken off his jacket, which had been covered in foam during the attack.
Times correspondent Graham Boley. Also on Wednesday's front page, details on how Pakistan's spy agency funneled millions of dollars to a nonprofit group in Washington. The Justice Department now says it was a secret effort to influence Congress and the White House. The FBI arrested the group's executive director on charges that he's an unregistered foreign agent. The FBI says Pakistan's intelligence service supervised his donations to U.S. political campaigns and his meetings with officials in Washington. In the revolt against Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, Hama has become a model of what a city might look like once 40 years of dictatorship are over. The barricades are still up, blocking the return of security forces that withdrew last month, apparently to avoid more bloodshed. For the first time in years, clerics and citizens are negotiating with the local governor, this in a country long accustomed to a monologue from the top. The National Academy of Sciences issued recommendations on the levels of preventive care for insurance plans created under the healthcare overhaul. A 16-member panel said insurance companies should provide free contraceptives for women. The panel said contraception could reduce unintended pregnancies, teen pregnancies, and abortions. The panel also said insurers shouldn't be allowed to charge copayments because even small charges could keep people from using them. In Utah, the liquor laws were relaxed a couple of years ago by then-Governor John Huntsman. He went on to become President Obama's ambassador to China. Now he's running for the Republican presidential nomination. Times reporter Michael Cooper says Utah has a bar scene these days, but the liquor laws remain complicated. One restaurant has what looks like a wine cellar, but it's stacked with empty bottles. Under Utah's liquor laws, restaurant customers aren't supposed to see their drinks before they're served, nor can they see the bartenders who make them. Inside Wednesday's Times, Representative Michelle Bachmann suffers from migraine headaches so bad she sometimes needed emergency medical treatment. She says that wouldn't prevent her from serving as president if she were elected. She says the headaches are easily controlled with medication. She issued a statement following a report on a website that quoted unnamed advisors who said the migraine sometimes left her incapacitated. Her campaign and her family dispute that. A new autopsy has determined that President Salvador Allende of Chile killed himself with an assault rifle back in 1973. The finding dispelled doubts about how he died, among them whether troops storming the presidential palace had murdered him. Leftist supporters like Fidel Castro said he died in a gun battle. Google is spending millions to find the next Google. Google is playing venture capitalist using data-driven algorithms to analyze prospects. Never mind that there's often little data on startups or that venture capitalists often say investing is more art than science. Times reporter Claire Kane Miller says at Google, even art is quantifiable. For day one of gay marriage, New York City set a limit of 764 weddings. The first day is Sunday. A lottery will determine who gets to tie the knot, gay or straight. Mayor Michael Bloomberg said the limit would avoid chaos. The city clerk's office estimates more than 1,700 same-sex couples have applied for marriage licenses online. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.